We have some proof from the CDC itself that the hyper-controlling role the government played over the past year did not help reduce risk that much. Welcome to Culture Shift, the Barry Ferris Show. We are living in an American culture that has shifted from tolerant to cancel culture, from decent to rude, from optimistic to cynical, and from relatively safe to increasingly violent. But it's not too late. I hope to equip you with a historical framework applied to current events so you can lead and get America back on track for good. Today, we'll take a look at one report from the CDC, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, and we'll find an explicit data-based admission by the CDC itself that the campaign to control people was not really all that effective. Last week, I discussed COVID, kind of a year in review. And my outcome goal from that broadcast was to just make the case that before the next virus comes around, we have got to learn to temper the excessive use of executive orders and trust people to make risk mitigation decisions for themselves. In March through October of last year, the crazy 2020, I argued in the Colorado Springs Gazette and in Colorado Politics in over half a dozen op-eds for a more freedom-based approach, an op-ed a month about, and I claimed that people would mitigate for themselves and that the price of the shutdowns and the mandatory behavior compliance requirements was just too high of a price to pay. And I made the claim that the increased risks that would likely come from a hyper-focus on COVID were greater than the benefits. Well, right after I produced that show from last week, I saw another report, and this just came out. And it's on mask wearing, and it's by the CDC. And I just wanted to provide an addendum and zoom in on this report. Now, it was dated March 5th, 2021. It's produced by the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC. The title is MMWR, Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. But sometimes they'll do other things in their reports. And this report looks at the connection between state-issued mask mandates and county-level COVID-19 case and death growth rates. So the time frame of this study goes from March 1 of 2020 through December 31st of 2020, so 10 months. Yeah, this report looks at all 3,142 counties in the United States. Pretty comprehensive report. And this report's authored by 8 doctors and 4 lawyers that are outside the CDC. And then there's 17 from the CDC COVID-19 response team and 4 from the CDC law program. Altogether, 32 professionals had a hand in this document. All the authors complied with the International Committee of Medical Journal Editors, and no potential conflicts of interest were disclosed. The idea behind the many authors is to control for bias. This report probably fairly represents the reality on the ground, at least based on CDC's definitions. In other words, if you believe the CDC's determination of a COVID-related death, then when they talk about a growth or decline in COVID-related death, it's at least accurate compared to their own definition. It's comprehensive. Lots of authors, lots of peer review. So they looked at the counties in the U.S. that had mask mandates and the ones that didn't. From March 1st through December 31st, there were statewide mask mandates in effect in 2,313 of the 3,142 counties in the United States. In other words, 74% of the U.S. counties had mask mandates and 26% did not. If you look at their table in this report, the death rate was actually lower in the counties with a mask mandate, but only by a very little bit. In fact, in the first 20 days after the mandate, the death rate decreased by only 0.7% in the counties that didn't have a mask mandate over the ones that did. So not a big change. When you go 21 to 40 days after the mask mandate, the COVID death rate goes all the way up to 1% lower in the counties that have the mask mandate versus those with no mask mandate. When you move to past 41 days, the average decrease in COVID deaths in the counties with a mask mandate versus those without one, it climbs to 1.63%. So when you take from that table every segment, the segment of 1 to 20 days after the mask mandate, 21 to 40 days, et cetera, all the way through, The average decrease in the death rate for those wearing a mask is 1.32%. You heard that right. 1.32%, according to the CDC, with a mask mandate. A little bit better, but not 40% better, and not even close to the 20% that's been suggested by a legion of mainstream media. No, the actual reduction in COVID-related death when you've got a mask mandate in that county is 1.32% better than when you don't have the mask mandate. So it could be even lower than that. In other words, the difference might be even less. And here's why. We know from the CDC that the normal flu cases in the United States have dropped to 0.1% as of February 27th, 2021. Seriously? When that's the normal peak of the flu? End of February? The national baseline from previous years is 2.6%. That's a big difference. Another way to say it is that we normally have 26 times more people with the flu than we do now. In other words, our past flu season would have had 26 times more flu than we're getting now. So, and we know from last year that we had 56 million with the flu, and we also know from the CDC that the COVID pandemic could be impacting flu case reporting. That's their quote. The COVID pandemic could be impacting flu case reporting. In other words, it's possible that many of the COVID and flu deaths are getting commingled. It's kind of hard to take the current CDC flu map seriously. I mean, if you look at this map here on your screen, it shows everything green. In other words, there's just almost no flu in the United States at this time. It almost looks like it's been eradicated. There's only been one pediatric death due to the flu this year. Last year, it was 188. Exactly 188 times worse last year than this year. Last year, the flu killed 22,000 adults. This year, 450. I mean, has the flu really been totally eradicated? It's not likely. And if not, then the only logical explanation is that there's some commingling of data. And that would mean that that 1.32% decrease in the death rate for those guys who've got mask mandates versus not, as small as that is, might be too high, since the flu death rates aren't necessarily properly accounted for. Regardless, at the end of the report, the CDC concludes, and this is a quote, community mitigation policies such as state-issued mask mandates have the potential to slow the spread of COVID-19. So just to make sure you heard that, from the CDC's report, at the end of their report, they say mask mandates have the potential to slow the spread of COVID-19. The CDC did not say there is indisputable evidence that there is a huge benefit for mask mandates. They can't. Their own peer-reviewed data for mandating mask wearing is weak. It's certainly not strong enough to make an assertive claim. I mean, the reduction in deaths is not big enough for the CDC to say mask mandates definitely reduce COVID deaths by a significant amount. They can't say that. So after this report, the Washington Post has a headline, and it says, CDC says mask mandates can reduce deaths. Well, I mean, that's kind of honest to some extent. They can reduce deaths. It's at 1.32% at best case. But a really more honest headline would have been, since there is almost no statistical difference, to say, you know, the CDC does an extensive search and they show very little difference in death rates with or without mask mandates. The New York Times reported that wearing masks, the CDC study reported, was linked to fewer COVID-19 deaths. Well, that's technically true. I mean, there were fewer, but only by a very little bit. And if you multiply the CDC's 1.32% by the 530,000 people that have been reported by CDC to have died due to COVID, you get 6,600. So a more honest headline could read, CDC study shows that mask mandates saved 6,600 lives over a 10-month period. Not tens or hundreds of thousands. But the media has been saying that mask mandates have saved hundreds of thousands of lives. The data just doesn't support it. The media could have said, hey, the CDC study shows 660 lives were saved per month by mask mandates in the United States out of a population of 331 million. But that wouldn't have sounded very impressive. But it would have been true. Or they could have given a relative death number. The CDC reports mask mandates saved 6,600 lives in the past 10 months out of the total of 530,000 COVID-related deaths and the total of 2.7 million deaths nationwide for all causes. The media is just not bent toward freedom. The data could have supported the overall inefficacy of masks, and they could have said that long ago. I mean, we now have 10 months of detailed support, but the data just doesn't support an improvement with mask mandates that's anywhere near worth the cost of making those mask mandates work. Yet, so many, approximately 74% nationwide, comply like sheep. Now, you know, I would have been fine with the CDC encouraging the use of a quality mask, especially with regular replacement of other and some of those other proper use suggestions for all high-risk people. You're not supposed to move it around. You got to swap it out fairly recently. And we should never ridicule anyone who needs or wishes to wear a mask for their own protection. And for those who actually look at the data and wear proper quality masks in the proper way, that really can be helpful. And I'm for that. But the mandates did very little overall good. You got a lot of people mad at each other. But they didn't really help. The point is, you never heard any balanced, honest review of the data from the mainstream media. I mean, here's another elephant in the living room that was way underreported until just recently. We've known for more than the time period that COVID was about, but we have known that even connected to COVID, that obesity is a contributing factor to death. And since about May, we know that that's the case with COVID-related death. Yet, that obesity comment was off limits from the mainstream press. I mean, why not just be honest about all sides of what's real? But not until Friday, March 12th, did the New York Times acknowledge this. And that was by accident. They were kind of forced to. They had written pretty confidently about the mystery of how low-income areas of Africa and Asia have such low death rates. They concluded Monday, March 8th, in their little report, how marvelous that mystery is. Well, since Monday, the New York Times got bombarded with researchers from around the world saying, look, let us help you demystify the issue, New York Times. An explanation that was not on the list is obesity. In fact, after hearing from other researchers, the New York Times had to correct themselves and say, look, we now acknowledge countries with higher obesity rates have suffered more COVID deaths on average than others. For example, they show the U.S. has the highest obesity rate and among the highest COVID death rate of about 1,600 deaths per million people. Britain has a 28% obesity rate, a little bit lower than the U.S., a little bit higher, 1,900 COVID deaths per million, but still kind of in that same chart. Now, based on this New York, the same area of the chart, based on this New York Times chart, Nigeria is sitting way down at about 8% obesity and under 100 deaths per million. Whoa, a lot fewer deaths per million related to COVID. They had a lot of cases, but very few deaths. India is even lower in obesity, and it's got a slightly higher death rate than Nigeria, but it's still a very low death rate. In fact, out of their 1.4 billion people, only 158,000 have died due to COVID. I mean, that's a 0.011% death rate. The U.S. sits at 0.16%. You just take the 530K that have died, divide by our 331 million people. In other words, the U.S. COVID death rate per million residents is 14.6 times higher than India's. You can't say it's because India's richer than us. In fact, if you see this dynamic from the color-coded world map that we're showing you right now, the orange and the red are the higher COVID death rate countries. And those are mostly rich countries. That includes North and South America and Europe and Russia. Yet Africa and Asia are yellow with much lower COVID death rates. I'm not trying to pick on anyone by talking about obesity. I mean, over 35% fit the formal definition of obesity in the U.S. Some say it's as high as 42%. The New York Times goes on to explain how the obesity issue can cause multiple health problems, including making it harder to breathe, CNN just reported a few days ago that obesity increases the COVID death rate by 10 times on average compared to the countries with lower obesity. But this is actually not news. I mean, it's not new news. The New York Times could have reported on this in May of 2020. The CDC had long ago made the following assertions. Obesity increases the risk of severe illness, triples the risk of hospitalization with COVID, is linked to an impaired immune system, decreases lung capacity, makes ventilation more difficult, and increases the risk of death from COVID. The New York Times makes it seem like this is all new information. They conclude on March 12th that it's particularly intriguing possibility because it could help explain why Africa and Asia have suffered fewer deaths than not only high-income countries. I mean, this is also in Latin America countries where Latin Americans, like Europeans and the U.S. residents, are heavier on average than Africans or Asians. That's their quote. Well, again, the point is not to pick on this over 35% of the U.S. population here. The point is that if the media had been honest and open about this issue almost a year ago when they could have, it would have balanced the conversation. Rather than going with just one narrative alone, their narrative was mask wearing reduces COVID deaths, obey mask mandates, external behavior compliance is the only ticket to safety. They could have been more sophisticated and more helpful and actually saved lives and our way of life. They could have gotten some of their own staff to convey a personal responsibility campaign, since presumably nearly 40% of their own staff struggle with obesity. We now know that this single campaign could have saved many thousands of lives. I mean, the mainstream media could have said, hey guys, from a person that maybe is challenged with the same struggle, this is a great time to lose a little weight. Let's get out there and walk. Let's exercise. That alone can increase your chances of surviving COVID by over a factor of 10. Yet, they've got a narrative and they stick to it, regardless of the facts. Mask mandates helped a very small number of people compared to the counties that did not have a mask mandate, about 660 per month nationwide. Not to mention the largely non-compliant countries. I mean, these are the countries that have lower COVID deaths. When you compare those folks, they didn't do all the mask mandates. It was more difficult for some of them to comply, yet they still had lower COVID death rates. There's no question COVID was very contagious, and it went all over the world. It went out to do its damage regardless of what we did, whether we shut down a lot or we didn't shut down much. You can compare the states and the countries and the counties that had deep shutdowns, and you can compare those to the ones that didn't have shutdowns at all, and there's really not much of a difference in terms of how many cases there were. But there is a difference in death rate. And if you've got more of an obesity situation, the death rate's higher. But you know, if you worked on your personal health during this whole pandemic, you were very, very, very likely to fully recover. So just March 11th, the new POTUS talked about COVID at his very first address. It's not normal to wait that long to speak, but he recited COVID's costs. He listed them: job loss, loneliness, canceled gatherings, missed time in school, and most of all, death. Those are all realities. But you know, they were the result of government mandates. I mean, mandates that were largely unnecessary. Shutdowns resulting in business closure and the stress that came from the job loss and the loneliness that came from being isolated. Canceled gatherings and missed time in school. I mean, they were unnecessary. We know from science that they were. If we had been more honest and more disclosing about certain personal responsibility issues, the CDC and mainstream media could have saved tens of thousands of lives. Next time, the government should have a more humble view of what it can and should actually do. There will be a next time. I'm hoping and praying that government will limit itself under the banner of freedom rights. My prayer is that all the data will be presented, not favoring one health view over another. In other words, governing authorities should not bend over backwards to disseminate just one side of the story and then do what they can to turn down the other side. And what ended up happening in hindsight is the government and the mainstream media is complicit in misinformation. And since we now have proof from the CDC itself that the hyper-controlling role the government played over the past year did not help reduce risk that much, I mean, only by 1.32%, we should recalibrate this and have an honest and open approach. Now, I'm a limited government guy, but I would be okay with the government providing fact-based warnings and encouraging measures that curb the spread of sickness and disease. But I would stop short of mandates that end up doing more harm than good. With this new CDC study, I'm convinced now, more than ever, that it was wrong to try to control the narrative, and it was very wrong to control people. To your freedom. God bless you.
Hi, I'm David Farah. Thank you for listening to my dad's podcast, The Barry Farah Show, Culture Shift. Click subscribe now to be sure you don't miss an episode. Share this podcast with your friends on social media and give The Barry Farah Show your 5-star rating. Check out today's show notes below this episode and at thebarryfarahshow.com. This podcast is also available in video format at The Barry Farah Show on YouTube. See you next time.